And now, broadcasting from their secret hideout, Checkpoint XP presents a show about comic books and superheroes. Robbie Landis, Joe Sloan, The Other Identity.
Welcome, heroes and villains alike, to the glorious grotto. I am, of course, one of your hosts, the great Landis, and along with me, as always, my sidekick, Joe Boy.
So good to be here.
How do we like that one? Do we like the glorious grotto?
I'm in for the glorious grotto. Okay. I think that's going
to
be it.
Yeah, cool. I'm glad that I was able to, because I'm not going to lie. I've been kind of a little bit jealous after whatever it was that you suggested last week that was actually pretty good. I'm like, I want something good and neat and like creative that sounds cool, but I also want to be the one that created it.
You don't want the Freedom Fortress.
Is that what you came up with last week?
No, that's just another one.
Oh. I mean, that one's kind of okay, I guess. But
it's a little cheesy.
I like the Glorious Grotto better.
I'm big on the Glorious Grotto.
Yeah, what was yours last week? I don't even remember.
It wasn't the Majestic Mound, I'll put it that way.
Majestic Mound was a classic.
Yeah, years from now when they're reading the lore, they'll be like, wait a minute, there was an issue where it was called the Majestic Mound?
Yeah.
Who wrote that issue?
It'll be like a series of panels where we're just like going through like sort of, you know, rapid pace, naming a bunch of them off.
It's going to be like when you go back and you learn that Golden Age Superman had super ventriloquism. That was one of his powers. And you're just like, okay, who wrote that? That's stupid.
Who did write that? I bet you know.
I have no idea.
Oh, you don't?
That. It was a writer from like the 50s.
I feel like out of spite, you would just remember so you could constantly shame them.
Yeah, but it was like from the 50s. Like, who knows who wrote anything back then?
They were all just on drugs anyway. So, today, we were planning on it just being another one of those days where we kind of just grab a few, you know, interesting headlines and kind of talk at length about them.
For sure.
There is one important one that I want to mention, but for the most part, since Spider-Man number 2 by J.J. Abrams and Son is out, we are going to talk about that. But the first thing that I want to do is put out a big congratulations to Mr. Kevin Feige.
Yes.
Who went from being the head of Marvel Studios to basically being the grand poobah of all of this and that.
No, he's the czar. He's now the czar of Marvel. He's the czarvel. I like this.
Get out. He is now head of comics, film, and TV. Is there anyone above him at this point?
At Marvel?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if there's anyone ahead of him at Marvel. I mean, in Disney, sure.
Yeah. I think at this
point,
we
all answer to Iger.
Yeah.
And they, I presume, answer to Disney's frozen head, who I presume answers to a demon named Mickey Mouse. That has assumed corporeal form.
Yeah. So, man, he's king of it all. Only answers to Iger. That's crazy. What do you think that this means going forward now? Not just for the MCU, but for Marvel in general. How do you see this affecting it?
I foresee two things coming out of this. For one, more continuity between the different medium, right? Like we've always talked
between
about
between all three, because we knew that it was coming between film and like the Disney Plus stuff.
Yeah. I feel like we're gonna see more between the film, the TV. I'm still torn on the comics just because there's so many different stories that they'd have to kind of get in line to make
that work.
Well,
here's the thing. They actually have done it before. They've used some comics as sort of like epilogue or prologue?
Prologue would be before.
Prologue, yeah. They've used a few comics as a prologue to set up for certain things. Like, if you remember, I believe that they used a Captain Marvel comic before the movie came out to establish the canon now that she's half Kree.
Right.
That she actually has Kree blood. And I think before Endgame came out, they had kind of put out a comic that kind of played a little bit of a longer scene of when Tony had first went to the Sanctum Sanctorum after being called there because of Bruce, you know, because Bruce was, or being taken there with Bruce,
right?
Where they kind of explain a little bit more in depth what the Infinity Stones are and what they know about them. So they've done a little bit of that already.
Yeah.
But yeah, I personally think that's something they could do. You know what would be really cool? You know what would get my money every damn time? Is if every movie came with a companion issue of some sort, and when you went to see the movie,
they gave you the comic book?
No, you had to pay extra for it, and they had a limited number of them per movie theater.
Oh, scumbag move, but I love it.
You'd buy it
100%
every time.
Of the time. Oh yeah, absolutely. I think they'd give them out for free. I think you'd get the book with the
variant cover for money.
Ooh, yeah. See, they could ten, I could see them
ten
for that
per
route.
Theater.
First 10 in line, and now we've got lines around the freaking block for that.
Oh man.
So yeah, I foresee that happening. I see more
wouldn't
crossover.
Wouldn't Scorsese love that?
Oh. Please, from your mouth to God's ears, please let that happen. Yeah, I definitely foresee a lot more crossover. I foresee Kevin Feige getting a lot less sleep and having a $100 million funeral. That's what I think is going to happen.
Does this worry you at all about the quality of films going forward? Because now that he has so much more to overlook, like I don't know how much of his personal touch goes in right. to like a film-by-film basis.
Right.
But whatever it was, it's going to have to be less now than it was before, wouldn't you think? I mean, granted, they're usually not making so many movies at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But again, now he also has to worry about you know, Disney Plus stuff, movie stuff, and whatever his involvement may or may not be in comics. Do you anticipate it having some sort of effect?
Right, an adverse effect of some kind? I would say no. I think one of the reasons that Feige has been as successful as he has is, of course, he has an overall vision, but he picks good people to put in charge of projects. While Kevin Feige is an executive producer on almost everything that is happening, he is not the director. He is not the writer. You know, he is a part of the vision, but he's not the man in charge of everything. So that leads me to believe he has a good eye for talent and for people who can bring his visions to life. I would expect him to do very much the same thing in this role. What I'm hoping is that we're not going to see him be less involved, you know, in these movies. I don't want it to be like, well, you know, now I'm the guy in charge, so I'm not, you know, hands-on with it anymore. I'd like him to still be a little hands-on. That would still, you know, make me feel better. But again, in Feige we trust until he gives us a reason to doubt him. And damn it, in about, what, 10 years now, he has not.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say?
I'm not worried. You want to know why?
Yeah, I want to know why.
Three letters.
Oh, okay.
LMD.
LMD?
Life Model Decoy. I think that there are a number of Feigies out there running around, and that's how he's able to handle the workload that he does,
yeah.
Is he's just turned himself into Life Model Decoys, and if he ever feels like there's too much for me to handle, you just pop another one out.
So it's like the opposite. It's like, it's not like where they're like, hey, you know what? We've never seen two of them in the same place together. I wonder if they're the same person. It's like, how come I keep seeing him in three different places?
Did Feige just walk into his own office again?
Exactly.
They're in there having a board meeting. There's just a bunch of them. No, see, they wouldn't need to do that because they all have like, not Wi-Fi. What is it when you take two, like you split an atom and you put two places in different,
they're all quantum entanglement.
Yes. That's right.
So, yes, there are, in your world, in your headcanon, there are 8 Feiges with quantum entanglement.
So they can instantly communicate with each other.
So they can, yeah, so like one, someone thinks something and the other ones all get it. There's a hive mind. The Feige hive mind,
yes,
is what's controlling
Marvel. The Feige
Marvel
hive mind, absolutely. How else do you explain the fact that we haven't had a single miss? Like even something like the first Thor or Thor Dark World, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was okay, and it made
it.
Money.
I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it. You're right. I think Occam's Razor would definitely suggest that it has to be a Feige hive mind. There can't be a better solution.
That's right, guys. Let us know, what are your thoughts? Do you think that Feige being spread so thin is going to affect the movies, the creation of them, in one way or another? Or do you subscribe to my theory, the Life Model Decoy hive mind, the Feige mind, the Feige hive?
The Borg have taken over Marvel.
We want to know what you guys think. Let us know on social media. That's Checkpoint XP at Facebook and Twitter, Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And of course, you can check us live every Thursday at about 3:00 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointXP. All right. So welcome back, guys. We appreciate you taking the time to download The Other Identity or join us live if you happen to be one of the 23 viewers that are currently doing so. But the big thing on both me and Joe's mind today is Spider-Man number 2 has dropped. This is a new world/universe, a new take on Spider-Man that's being headed.
Boy, is it.
That's being headed by J.J. Abrams and his son. Yes, J.J. Abrams, you know, the mind behind Lost and a bunch of the Star Trek movies. Most recently, some Star Wars movies. He's done one.
He did episode seven, and yeah, he's doing episode 9.
There you go. And yeah, he's writing Spider-Man now with, I believe it's Sarah Pacelli is the artist on it. And so yeah, the second one's dropped now, and just you caught up on the first one. Spoilers, by the way, in case you're
ready. There's gonna be
concerned about that. So the whole premise behind this new take on Spider-Man is that Spider-Man and Mary Jane had a child, and a new villain who's called Cadaverous showed up. Spider-Man defeated him, but in doing so, Mary Jane was killed.
Yep.
He lost an arm.
Yep.
He hung up the suit.
Yep.
And now, some 12 years later, his son is in high school, about the same time that he became Spider-Man. His son is now also exhibiting powers and is kind of taking up the mantle. And there's all types of, you know, new dynamics, you know, Peter being the absentee father, Aunt May now being great Aunt May.
Yep.
And we see now in this issue, he once again meets up with Ito Faye, or is it Faye Ito?
Yeah, Faye.
Yeah,
Faye,
okay.
Yeah.
Who's kind of like his MJ, and they go out on a little bit of a date, which is her way of saving the world is going around to companies or stores that don't pay their workers health insurance and vandalizing them.
Well, in this case,
that
was the crime. Yeah,
yes.
She vandalizes companies. She's basically, you know, her own form of social justice.
Yeah.
You know, these guys don't pay their employees health insurance, which is illegal, apparently. Mm-hmm. So she decides that they need to be vandalized. And she is, of course, the marker.
Yep, she's dressed up in her own costume. So he gets dressed up in one of his father's old Spider-Man costumes, which she doesn't necessarily question. She just thinks it's a really, really good cosplay.
Yeah, she thinks it's an incredible cosplay.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't even recognize what site that's from.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yep. But they do get caught by the police. And the only way out is, in his eyes, is to web-sling them out. Which he's really good at out of nowhere.
Yeah, for us not having gotten the training montage where he learns how to do it, he is very capable.
Which I'm like okay with, but like I don't know if I'm supposed to be okay with that. Like, am I okay with the fact that he's just naturally that good at web slinging like his first time?
Yeah, especially with someone in his arms.
Exactly. I was expecting him to drop her and have like one of those near, oh my God, you know, type moments.
Now, they do slam into a billboard.
They do. And this is the first part of this particular comic that really blew my mind again. The billboard that they slam into it depicts Black Widow, the Hulk, Thor, and Captain America.
Yes.
And it says, "Remember the Great Departed."
Yes, they are dead.
And by the way, the two characters sitting there talking now don't reference that at all.
No, it's not.
Nobody
like they
does.
Talk about it. It's
nope,
just
it's
on the
just
billboard.
There. And then to make it even worse, later, after his little escapade, when he's all over the news because he was web-slinging through the city and Spider-Man hasn't been around for a while.
So the news is freaking out, being like, oh my God, Spider-Man's back.
There's one quote that you see again just in the background. Nobody actually talks about it or recognizes it, but it says the last surviving member of the team, Tony Stark, has no comments.
Yep. So Iron Man
the
survived.
Avengers are dead,
yep,
apparently, but Iron Man's still around. And then there's a little bit later, someone, once he's like back, because then he also later fights Cadaverous as well, who sees that he's back and talks about the key. So whatever Cadaverous has planned or wants to do, Spider-Man is somehow the key to it all.
Yes.
Okay. But someone mentions that, and actually I think Faye also mentions a few times that there are no more heroes. And now that Spider-Man's back, that's a big deal, not just because it's Spider-Man, he hasn't been around for a while, but apparently there are no more heroes.
Yeah, because the one guy that Spider-Man saves mentions that, you know, his friend, I don't know if it's his friend or his brother, you know, says that all these old heroes are just washed up has-beens. And yeah, there aren't heroes. It's not a thing. And the children, clearly the younger people, that's why Marker is doing what she's doing. The hero is the symbol that any of us the costume is a symbol that anyone can be a hero, that anyone, you don't have to be someone with superpowers. And of course, Ben does have superpowers.
Right. So it's hard for me to even start to wrap my head around this, because even just reading that first issue and all these new ideas that Abram and his son are working with now were so fascinating and so cool to start to kind of think about and play with and theory craft around.
Yeah, this is,
and now they're opening up. It's not just about, you know, Ben's world, Peter's world. Like they've opened it up now. This is a completely different universe than I think we've ever had to deal with.
It's for
before.
Sure. It's for sure a completely different universe. I mean, obviously, it's not tying into what's going on in the other current Marvel books.
I mean,
because everyone's dead or not a hero anymore.
Right, but here's the thing. I think that there have been some arcs that play with the idea that, you know, like an apocalypse type arc or something, or a zombies arc where everyone's, you know, dead in some form or fashion. But then it usually comes to an end pretty quickly. Like that's tied into what the overall arc and plot and what we're trying to solve is.
Sure.
But this is now establishing that that's just the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Now the period of time that we live in that's just the norm for everyone is that heroes aren't around anymore.
Yeah, they were. But yeah, they've all since hung it up or died out or been arrested, I'm assuming.
The great departed. Like, I mean, oh man, see, this is so exciting yet scary, because do they have to explore that? Like, if this is just Spider-Man's story, you want the world to feel alive, and doing this does that.
Yeah.
But now it also makes you want to, like, what happened?
But at the end of the day, we finished that book, and my questions aren't about Spider-Man. They're about, well, wait a minute, what happened to this world? I need to know more.
Is this just going to be a short-lived series that J.J. Abrams and his son do about Spider-Man in this world, or is this the beginning of another universe?
Yeah. What do you hope?
Yes. Especially because we're in at the beginning now.
Yeah.
And that's the best time to get in on it. And the fact that they would like stealth launch it through something like this instead of coming out with like this big, the new universe, you know, coming out with 10 new issues across so many heroes. Yeah. Oh man, it could be interesting.
It could be. And I think there's a lot of interesting stuff that happens in the second book. One of my big worries, and we talked about it after the first issue, was that Peter's gonna be like, OMG, or I'm sorry, Ben's gonna be like, OMG, my dad is Spider-Man, and all is forgiven. That is not what happened.
No, quite the opposite.
Ben is furious.
He now blames his father for his mother's death, which was another way that we could see it going, and that was interesting too. I'm glad. It doesn't seem like they're going to try and drag those out for as long as they can, right? Because I feel like Peter could have just very easily just been really upset with him, because at the end he does see the footage of him swinging around the city fighting Cadaverous and whatnot.
Goes bad, no.
Right, goes back home, and they may still have a fight. I'm sure they will, but it was really cool to see the issue end the way it was, and that's with Ben coming back home still wearing the costume all torn up, and you know, Peter being there, and as he walks through the door goes, hey there, Spider-Man.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, I want to know what the next panel is so bad because I got a weird, because it's going to go one of two ways. It's either going to be him starting to talk to Ben about the responsibilities of being Spider-Man, or he's going to backhand him with a hook hand. And I got to be honest with you, I got my fingers crossed for one of them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't think he's going to get the hook hand.
And
while there probably will be a fight, I do kind of hope and think that Peter will kind of take this as, he knows he can't stop him.
Yeah.
He's not there, first of all, right? And Aunt May is obviously going to be a voice of reason here, who gave him the costume.
By the way, it does look like we've established that Peter is a traveling photographer.
Yes.
Not a scientist, like I would have guessed that he would be. He's a traveling photographer, which would explain why he's gone for so long all the time. I don't know that it makes it okay, but...
Oh, no, it doesn't.
It's an interesting call that he continued with the photography and
here's the thing. Science and making discoveries and stuff, that puts responsibility on him. And when you see the way that Aunt May talks about how losing Mary Jane broke him, I don't think that he wants that anymore. And in fact, we had also talked about how is Spider-Man's usual mantra going to come into play here. And we saw it come into play with Faye when they were, you know, doing their vandalism. You know, she had said that Spider-Man got it backwards. It's not with great power comes great responsibility. It's the other way around. When you have great responsibility,
you have great power.
And so it'll be interesting to see how that works out for Ben, how he interprets that, right? But I mean, overall, like this comic is continuing to impress me and surpass any expectations I thought I had.
Do you think at some point Peter gets Uncle Ben?
Ooh.
Yeah. Do you think that's what pushes Ben to eventually be embrace being Spider-Man truly?
And take his father's words of wisdom to heart.
Yeah,
as well.
Like maybe they spend an issue or two like being Spider-Man Spider-Man gets off.
I don't even know if they would go Spider-Man and Spider-Man, but the fact that Ben blames Peter for his mother's death, if he now gets put into a situation where he isn't able to stop Cadaverous from killing Peter, now he has to either live with the fact that, all right, if it's my dad's fault that mom died, it's now my fault
that he died.
Or he has to reconcile with the fact that there's nothing I could have done to stop that.
And there was nothing dad could have done to stop
Interesting.
That
well, again, remember, because Cadaverous now needs Spider-Man for some reason. He now has two choices between both Peter and Ben. Ooh, man.
Now, let's talk about Cadaverous for a minute, because two issues in, we still don't know much. We still haven't gotten a whole lot.
No, he talks to his children. There's something wrong. I mean, there's a lot wrong with him, obviously. Yeah. But he refers to Spider-Man as the key.
My personal guess for Cadaverous is that he is Tony Stark. I think after the Avengers died,
what?
Tony went evil and became Cadaverous. That's my guess of where
what?
This is going. And
what do you have to base that on?
He is a technological monstrosity man, and Tony Stark is the only one who survived the other Avengers dying.
But they also reached out to Tony, and he did it say that he refused to comment?
It said that he had no comment.
I don't know. Why would he kill Mary Jane?
Clearly, he was trying to get Spider-Man. I'm telling you, he went evil after the Avengers died.
Oh, that's a big call,
it's
man.
It's the hunch, right?
Uh-huh.
I love the hunch. You don't have to justify the hunch. It's just a hunch. Enjoy the hunch.
Oh, all right.
That's my hunch that I'm going on, is that Tony Stark is Cadaverous.
All right. Well, we have a month now before maybe we get some more answers.
No, if that's the case, we're not finding that out till issue 7. Like,
it's going to be
a problem.
Minute.
It's going
to
be a while.
Well, look, guys, we'd love to know what you think. That is going to be it for the other identity for us today. But if you aren't following the new Spider-Man run by J.J. Abrams and his son,
you need
check
to.
It out. This is great. We're probably going to be dedicating an episode once a month to talking about this. So if you want to get in on some of the action, some of the theory crafting, some of the hunching, definitely look into picking yourself up a few copies and let us know what you guys think. Again, that's Twitch. .tv/CheckpointXP. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook at CheckpointXP and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. With that, Joe, take us away.
What happened to the Avengers? Will Peter smack Ben with a hook hand? Tune in next time. Same Twitch time, same Twitch channel.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.